planted for his glory.
Yes, yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, will you open them? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to read to our hearing those first 7 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. This, of course, a letter written by the Apostle Paul. When you have found that, I would appreciate it if you would stand for the reading of God's word.
Amen.
Written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. Beginning with verse number 1, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, brothers, I always like to add sisters to that. You know? Mm-hmm. I can't help it. I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. You're looking at the King James, that's going to say carnal. Mm-hmm. It says, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food. You are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready.
Come on.
You are still worldly. Since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly?
Right.
Are you not acting like mere men and women? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men and women? What, after all, is Apollos?
Right.
And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God. Oh, we can camp out right there. But God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, you will anoint, God, my tongue with grace and truth. Make it like the pen of a ready writer, that, God, I may declare your truths right now with power, with authority, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ and with clarity. Prepare our ears to hear. Make our hearts ready to receive what you, God, will proclaim. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. 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 You may be seated. You may be seated.
All right.
We are planted for God's glory. Planted for God's glory. As I was reading this particular chapter of 1 Corinthians, reading from 1 into these verses, it struck me that even though this is titled 1 Corinthians, this letter could have been addressed to the American church. I'm reading these words where Paul is saying, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. As carnal. Mind you, he is talking to the church, a spiritual entity, an institution that was given birth by the Spirit of God and then filled with the Spirit of God to be able to carry out its work. Everything you look at in the DNA of the church is a spiritual institution. Spiritual organism. We don't operate by the intellect of this world. We don't operate by the knowledge of this world. We don't operate by the systems of this world. We operate by the Spirit of the living God. And yet Paul says to this church, I could not address you as spiritual, but world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In other words, you still so caught up in the world that you were rescued from that you can't live in the world that he called you to live in. For you and I, we are aliens in this place.
Yes.
Where our citizenship has been established in heaven. We're strangers.
Yes.
We're foreigners. And so we're supposed to act like this place is not our home. But Paul says, I couldn't address you as a spiritual being. Because you're still too busy pursuing the things of this world. And when you're busy pursuing the things of this world, you miss out on what God is trying to do and what God is trying to reveal and how God has made a way for you and planted you where you are so that you could bring glory to his great name. When you're busy working every hour that you can work just so that you can get another dollar, are you not thinking about worldly things? When you're busy fussing and fighting, trying to get your way, trying to prove your point and establish that you are right and somebody else is wrong. Are you not behaving in a carnal, worldly manner? He says you and I have been filled with the Spirit of God. So we have a different means by which we operate. We have different expectations. In fact, we have a different source that provides for us. Amen. So we learn how to look at things and interpret them through a different set of lenses. Paul was saying to the church, I wish you were spiritual, because if you were spiritual, it would change the way you see things. Paul was saying to the church, I need you to have a spiritual, biblical worldview. So that when you look at all of the foolishness that's going around you, you would not be so caught up in that foolishness that you think somebody else is in control. But because you are spiritual, you would be reminded that it was God who created the heavens and the earth. It was God who put it all in motion. It is his plan that's being worked out. And let me tell you, God has never started a project that he can't and won't finish. When you get your mind around and centered on spiritual things, it helps you to be able to see the things, the temporary things of this world from the right perspective.
Amen.
So that you are not tossed to and fro.
Amen.
So that you are stable. So that you become a trumpet of truth. So that you are able to deliver the power of the kingdom of God wherever his feet or your feet take you. Paul says, you guys are behaving worldly. Some of y'all talking about you're a Republican. That's what he said. I follow. Some of y'all talking about y'all Democrats.
Right.
I follow.
Yeah.
Some of y'all conservative.
Come on.
I follow. Some of y'all liberal.
Right.
Lord Jesus, and don't let us bring race into it, right?
Come on.
Huh? Because now all of a sudden it is about the color of my skin that determines the way I respond and behave. Paul says that's worldly. You may be wrapped in this flesh. You may be wrapped in this skin, but you need to know who you are. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, it is no longer about black or white. It's no longer about rich or poor. Now, it's only about the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
He says when you get so caught up in your racial makeup, when you get caught up in your economic makeup, when you get so caught up in your political agendas that you forget who you are, you are acting worldly. You have forgotten that you've not been planted here to reap all the benefits of this world. You've been planted for the glory of God.
Amen.
And so Paul gets personal. He says, some of y'all are talking about you belong to Apollos, you follow Apollos. Some of y'all are talking about you follow Paul, you follow me. And then he gets really personal because he helps us to come to grips with the reality of if it were not for God, where would we be?
Right.
That without God in our lives, who would we be? That God helps define who we are. He helps define our purposes. He gives us our value. He says that we are nothing. We are only servants of the living God. And brothers and sisters, when you and I become spiritual people, we start to realize that there are no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. We become nothing more than servants in his kingdom. Hallelujah. It helps us to stop looking at people in strange ways. Why? Because we are servants of the Most High God. And we've come to tell them about a God who has loved them so much that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, and they would not perish, but instead have eternal life. So when you can become spiritual, you lay all of that stuff down. In other words, you humble yourself and you identify yourself properly as being nobody but a servant.
Yeah.
And then you can sing that song, if you can use anything.
That's right.
You can use me.
Yeah.
I ain't got much to offer. But I know in your hands. You have the ability to take little. Oh my goodness. And in your hands, what was little becomes much. So if you can use anything, you can use me. I may not dot every I, I may not cross every T. I may not pronounce every word properly. But if you can use anything, here's my voice.
Yes,
you can use me.
All right.
Because I realize now that God is not about me. It's all about you. And I have been planted for your glory.
Yes.
Paul says, one plants, another waters.
Mm-hmm.
But it is God who gives the increase, who makes things grow. God has made me a planter, Paul says. But if I plant and God ain't in it, ain't nothing gonna happen. Apollos, God has made him a water. But if he water, and God ain't in it, you're going to have some wet dirt. That's it. Why? Because God is the one who causes the increase. He is the one who makes things grow.
That's right.
Paul was trying to say to the Corinthian church and now to the American church that you need to understand that this thing is really all about God. And you have been placed where you are at this time because God has a specific assignment for you in your life to carry out the role that he has given you so that he can be glorified in your life. Paul is saying you need to understand that your role is going to be different from somebody else's role. But you need to carry out your part so that when they carry out their part, God can do his part and get the glory.
Yeah.
In this season and in this life where we are right now, the question becomes, am I spiritual enough to begin to do what God has assigned to my hands to do? Or am I still trying to get somebody else's job? Trying to prove that I'm just as important as somebody else? Am I still fussing and fighting about unimportant things as opposed to focusing on bringing glory and honor to God? Paul says that when you and I grow up, we lay all that petty stuff aside.
Yes, sir.
And we start to realize that God put us where we are so that he could use us to bring glory and honor to his name through how he has already gifted us and made us useful for his kingdom.
Right.
Yeah. I'm so thankful that Dr. Carter Godwin Woodson was moved by God to set aside a week to recognize the contributions African Americans had made to building of this country.
Yes, sir.
I'm so thankful that when he looked and saw that there was discrepancy in the historical record about what was really taking place,
right,
that he took the intellect that God had given him, that he took his ability to be able to synthesize thoughts and used it to promote the idea that you and I, people of color, have been created in the image of God and have worth that needs to be talked about.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
He started his part by simply acting up on what God had moved upon him to do.
Amen.
See, it wasn't a whole month when he started.
You're right.
Hallelujah. But if he had not started, what would we have now? It was his act of obedience, his desire to see those being lifted up, that he was moved beyond the point of being selfish and thinking about himself, that he says, the gift that I've been given is to be used to bless other folks to the glory of God. And because of that, you and I now, we have some incredible information that we didn't have in the past. I want to encourage you, before you leave today, walk around and take a look at some of the things that have been posted on the walls about some of the great contributions that have come from people of color over the years. You're going to be amazed as you look at those things and say, wow, I didn't know he did that. I didn't know she did that. No, you didn't know. But because of his obedience, you get a glimpse now, because there are people who continue to highlight and elevate great contributions because God has gifted people to be a blessing to this world. And my brothers and sisters, I just want you to know that the contributions don't stop there.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Look over at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Turn around and look at them, because you're looking at a contribution that's about to happen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. 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 See, God created you with purpose, and he has something in you for you to contribute so those around you are blessed by the works of God in you. When you and I become spiritual people, we grow up and we stop worrying about getting the credit.
That's right.
Ooh, I could camp there for a while, but he told me to keep moving. See these folks right here?
They were not trying to get credit. In fact, they didn't know that their names would ever be written down anywhere. In fact, they were deprived of the credit that they deserved, but yet they made their contributions. See, when you are spiritual, when you grow up and you start operating with the spirit that God has given you, you stop worrying so much about getting credit all the time for what God has called you to do. You just start operating in obedience to God. You just start saying to God, I give you thanks that this is the day that you made and that you allowed me to see. Now use me to your glory. All of a sudden, God will start taking what he has already put in you because you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. He will take what he has already put in you and use it for his glory.
Yes, sir.
You and I have been planted for his glory. Planted for his glory. His glory alone. No one else's matter. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, when you and I become spiritually mature, allowing worldliness to move away from us, we begin to see things through the eyes of God the way they were intended. And then you have a different view of hardship. You have a different view of difficulty. Because now you're looking through God's eyes. And then you realize that there are no accidents in God's economy. That God is the ultimate planner who never leaves out a detail.
That's right.
You start realizing when you look through God's eyes that he sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You start realizing that God knows what is to come before it ever shows up, and that he has already made provision to take care of that thing when it gets here. When you start looking through God's eyes, it gives you a different perspective so that the heartache that you experience, so that the difficulty that you experience becomes nothing more than a testimony about the power of your God.
Hallelujah.
When you become spiritually mature, you start acting like Joseph. You start thinking like Joseph. You start behaving like Joseph. You remember Joseph, don't you? Joseph went through some difficult times because his brothers did not like him. Because his daddy favored him and gave him a beautiful coat. Not only that, Joseph had some gifts. He was an administrator. He was a dreamer. He knew how to operate the family business. Joseph also knew right from wrong. And when he saw wrong, he had the audacity to say to you, I'm going to go and report you to the boss. They didn't like Joseph because he was gifted. And he had the ability, God had given him the ability to interpret dreams, to dream and then talk about what the dream means.
That's right.
Yes.
His brothers got mad at him.
Oh, yeah.
And plotted to destroy him.
Yeah.
But he still rose.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's coming to see how they're doing so he can take a good report back to his daddy. They see him coming and they start to plot. Here he comes. Here comes the dreamer. Here comes the snitch. Here he comes. Let's deal with him. Look at him sporting his coat. Who he think he is? Let's deal with him. So they grab him. They take him. They end up throwing him into a pit. And then Joseph is sold by his brothers. See, when you start looking through the perspective of God's eyes, you start realizing that this thing really ain't about color.
That's right.
Amen. It was flesh and blood that took Joseph and sold him to some strangers just to get rid of him. Joseph then is taken, of course, into Egypt. He's sold into slavery. He's sold to be another person's slave.
Yeah.
But Joseph, who's looking through the eyes of God, continues to see what's going on. I'm able to explain how this is happening because this does not line up with the dream that he has had. But he still trusts God. And in his trust in God, he says that I will bless the Lord at all times, no matter where I am. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I know David said it, David wrote it, but I'm telling you, that's what Joseph said. While he is there, God is with him, and God is blessing everything that Joseph's hands touch.
Yes, right.
Why? Because God is with him. Why? Because Joseph has been planted for the glory of God. And because God is with him, and he has been planted for the glory of God, everything he touches, God blesses. Joseph then is falsely accused by his owner's wife. Ends up being tossed in the prison. Falsely accused, but in prison, Joseph said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. And while he is there in prison, all of a sudden, the prison keeper discovers, the warden discovers, this boy is gifted. I can use him to make my life easy. He's trustworthy, because all I ever hear him talking about, the Lord. The Lord, and his walk is matching his talk. He ain't talking about the Lord and doing something else. He's talking about the Lord and acting like he's shown up, believe what he just said. So the warden sees him and promotes him to a place where now he's overseeing the jail. Time progresses, and all of a sudden, God says, now it is time for me to make one more move. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, starts having dreams. Can't nobody tell him what's going on. But because during his jail time, because Joseph said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continue to be in my mouth, there was a man who belonged to the king who was put in jail that Joseph had the opportunity to minister to him. You in jail and you ministering to somebody else. Because when you do what God has told you to do, God will take care of the rest. That man gets out of jail, returns to his place, and forgets all about Joe. Joe got to wait in prison for a little while longer. But then when the king starts dreaming, the man remembers all of a sudden, how could I forget that man when you kid Pharaoh, you remember that time you got mad at me and you threw me in prison? There was a guy there that had the ability to interpret dreams. He told me that what the very things that you did was going to come to pass. It happened just as he said it would happen. Pharaoh said, go get this guy because I need somebody to tell me what these dreams are that have been driving me crazy. So Pharaoh sends to get Joseph. Joseph comes out of the prison. They clean him up and they stand him before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh starts to say, I've had a dream. Now, kid, I understand that you know how to interpret dreams. Watch this now. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times and his praise will continue to be in my mouth. Joseph says, listen, God will give me the interpretation of your dream. What are you doing? Everywhere he go, he lifting up God. Why? Because he's been planted for God's glory. And after Joseph interprets the dream for the king, king then makes him the second in command. Joseph now has full authority. Everybody has to do everything that he says except for the king. If Joseph don't like you, he can deal with you. Amen. Because Joseph is now in charge. Well, as time moves along, you know about this. There's a famine that takes place, and this famine reaches to the place where Joseph's brothers and his daddy is still living, and all of a sudden, they have run out of food, and they've got to go to Egypt and get some food. Lo and behold, when they make it to Egypt to get some food, they see Joseph. And because Joseph has decided in his mind that he is spiritual and not carnal, and he is looking through the eyes of God, he is seeing things through a different light.
Right.
Where he has an opportunity to exercise vengeance, he shows grace.
Oh my goodness.
That's right.
Make sure that his brothers are fed and that they go back and they take some food to his dad and to his family. And when they get there, they run out again. They come back. This time now, Joseph has a chance to get his entire family to come to Egypt. And that's what he does. That's what he does. He gets them all there.
Yes.
But now here's where the true picture comes of Joseph's perspective. Mm-hmm. After his father has died, his brothers realize, or they think and feel like their protection is gone.
Yeah.
And they go and make up a story to tell Joseph that daddy said, don't do nothing to us for what we did to you.
Yeah.
Joseph says, I'm not going to bother you because you meant what you did for evil.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, y'all want that thing, ain't you? But God intended it for good. So that I could save you this day. He was planted for God's glory and did not in any means surrender his attitude. He did not surrender his gifting to his own personal gain, but he stayed there and he honored God. Joe said, I've been planted for God's glory.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I am a living testimony. I want to close with these thoughts around what I think is a powerful psalm that grabs the heart of the journey that God has allowed many of us to walk through. The reason you were able to identify with that song that Sister Shalanda danced to, my soul is anchored in the Lord, is because you know that in this life we have trouble. You are witnesses to the fact that this journey ain't been easy. And I don't know about you, but when I start to review history and I start to look at all the difficulties that my ancestors had to go through, it becomes heavy upon my heart if I'm not looking through the right lens. I started to look at all of the injustice, and I started to look at all of the laws that they established to continue to perpetuate the injustice. And it can become hard and heavy upon the heart. And what makes it worse is when I look from yesterday into today, it seems as though ain't much changed.
That's right.
That we are making progress, yes, but there are yet still those who try to stop the progress of God's people.
That's right.
And it can be enough to just make you shake your head and throw up your hands and throw in the towel. But when you're looking through the lens of God, when you start to understand that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith, when you start to understand that he has never, ever started a project that he won't finish, when you go by the fact that he is faithful to what he has declared, it makes you bow up and say, I can go a little bit longer. It makes you look back on your ancestors with great appreciation because all of a sudden, what they went through, you and I are now harvesting. We are receiving. We are reaping the benefit.
Yes, right. Amen.
It reminds us that you and I need to live right now like we've been planted for God's glory so that their sacrifice and their labor would not be in vain. It reminds you and me that they had a work to do and they did their work. And right now in our season, you and I better get busy doing our work. We better be planting so that those who come after us will have something to harvest. It is a reminder that we don't stop. We keep pressing into the darkness because God has declared that he will get the glory in our lives.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah. That's it.
So this song says, I'm a living, breathing, walking testimony. I am the living proof of what the Lord has done. So you may call it crazy, but they can't take away my story. Why? Because I'm a living, breathing, walking testimony. When they look at you, when they look at me, you can say, look at what the Lord has done. Look, look at what the Lord has done. Oh, the enemy did what he could, but the Lord, he used it for good. Oh, look at what the Lord has done. When the thief tried to steal in Detroit, destroy it, the Lord gave me an anthem of joy. Look at what the Lord has done. Brothers and sisters, you and I are here today because we've been planted for God's glory. And he wants your life and my life to be a living testimony so that we can tell other folks about how good he is and how he delivers and how there is no weapon that can be formed against you that will be able to prosper because our God delivers.
Yes.
Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Give God praise.